If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 100. I've preached from this passage of Scripture, I know, several times in my ministry. But I believe this is going to be something that I hadn't seen before. And God's given it to me this morning to share with you. If you have your Bibles, look at Psalm 100 and stand with me, would you please? Let's try something different this morning. Let's have the ladies to read the first verse and the men to read the second verse and then the ladies to read the third verse and then the men to read the fourth verse and then the ladies to read the last verse. You think we could do that? And what I'll do is I'll maybe start the ladies just on a word or two, and then I'll quit, okay? In case you haven't noticed, I'm not a lady. And I'm not mixed up about it. Amen. Amen. Let's do that together. Ready, ladies? Make. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. Psalm 100, you can be seated. Pray with us and pray for us. Our Father, we want to thank You this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. I pray, Lord, this morning for Your presence. I pray for Your power. I pray, God, that You would move in our hearts and in our lives. And help us this day, our Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we certainly do love You, and it's all because You first loved us. And Lord, I thank You for a group of people that love one another with a pure heart fervently. Thank You, God, for what we've been able to do to help our neighbors in North Carolina. And I pray, Lord, that in the days ahead, You'll just help us, our Father, to be sensitive to the needs of each other. Many of our people, Lord, this morning, not just a few, many, would love to be here. But, God, they're unable to be here. God, we pray that Your presence will be real in their lives. God, that You'll minister to them this morning. Help us now, Lord. God will give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If I was going to pick a title for the message today, it would be out of verse number 4. And it would be these words. Be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him. I preached last week in revival over at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the subject was unto Him be glory in the church. Amen. Truly, I believe it ought to all be about Him, not us, but Him. Amen. And I believe that is a blessing. I want to call your attention to several phrases here in the Word of God. Then we're going to back up and pick out 3 of them and try to magnify them in your hearing this morning. The Bible said, be thankful unto Him. And then it says, bless, you ought to underline it, His name. I can't read that scripture without thinking about some of the meetings I was in years ago when somebody would get happy. I've seen people go up and down the aisles and all they could do was look up and they were weeping and they were shouting and they were saying, bless His name, bless His name, bless His name. Amen. That might scare some people. But I tell you, it didn't scare me because I knew they had their eyes on another land. Amen. They had their eyes on the Lord and they wanted to bless Him. He was blessing them. And I tell you this morning, when God fills you up real good with blessing, it's not time to hoard it up. It's time to let it spill. Amen. I like that song that came out years ago. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup's overflowed. Amen. I've watched my grandpa and my granny drink coffee years ago. You set it on an old wood stove and perked it. And I'm telling you, it was so hot it'd blister your lips if you tried to drink it right out of the pot. So I've watched them pour it in the cup. I've watched them tilt the cup on that saucer, amen, and take that saucer and sip that coffee, amen. How many knows what I'm, some of these young people don't have a clue what I'm talking about, amen. But I tell you what, I've been drinking from the saucer because the cup is overflowed, amen. We ought to let it overflow this morning. Be thankful unto him. I want to call your attention to several phrases here. Look in verse number 2. The Bible said, his presence. I'd like for you to underline that in the Word of God. And then in chapter number 100 and verse number 3, I'd like for you to underline the words, his people. Amen. This is going to get good, youngins. Amen. And then underline the words, his pasture, in verse number 3. Amen. I've been called pastor and I've been called pasture. Amen. Either one will work. Say amen. But his pasture. And then the Bible said in verse number 4, enter into, underline this, his gates and with thanksgiving. And into, underline this, his courts with praise. And then look at verse number 5. For the Lord is good. Watch this. His mercy. You ought to underline that this morning. And then the Bible said is everlasting. And then his truth endureth to all generations. I don't know about you, but that's enough to shout about till Jesus comes. Amen. Just those 7 phrases in Psalm 100. His presence, his people, his pasture, his gates, his courts, his mercy, his truth. He's worthy of our praise because of those things. Amen. I know that this week will come and go, and many will never bow their knee, never bow their head, never bow their heart, and thank God for his goodness and thank God for his blessings because they don't recognize how good God has been to them. Let's light in on the subject today. I just want to give you by way of introduction, the Bible said in verse number 1, make a joyful noise. There's something to make. You know, I like Bible like that because it applies personally in my life. I'm not a singer, but I can make a noise. Glory to God, that's about all it is, amen. But I'll tell you this, when it comes from right there, it's a joyful noise. And let me let you in on something. Every note can come out right, but if it don't come from right there, it ain't making no noise in heaven. Say amen. We need the joy of the Lord, amen. We need to sing unto him a new song. So there's something to make a joyful noise. I got a person in my life that's worthy of that. Then there's someone to serve. In verse number 2, that we can serve the Lord with gladness. I appreciate that, don't you? The opportunity to serve the Lord. And then, you know, that with gladness is important. That says we ought to be glad to do it. Not I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to tell somebody about Jesus. But I get to go to church. I get to read my Bible. I got eyes to see my Bible. Amen. I have enough education to understand what he's saying in the Word of God. Have the Spirit of God living in me to help me and to teach me the Word of God. There's someone to serve the Lord. And then there's someone to know. The Bible said in verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Let me say this to you this morning. There are many, many people in the world that know about God, that know about Jesus. I used to tell the prisoners when I was preaching in the prisons for 10 years, I would say this, how many of y'all know who the president is? Every hand would go up. We know who the president is, amen. Actually, right now we don't, but anyway, most of the time, we know who the president is, amen. But we know who's got the office, but we don't know who's calling the shots. Somebody say amen right there. You say, Pastor, that makes me mad. Get glad, because I'm going to stand for what's right, amen, till Jesus comes, amen. But it's one thing to know who the president is. It's another thing to know the president. Say amen. One thing to know who Jesus is. I can tell you honestly, for 27 years of my life, I knew who he was. I had a Sunday school teacher that taught me who he was, taught me what he had done, but I didn't know him. Amen. There was something between me and him. You say, Pastor, what was between you and him? My sin. and what was between you and him, my pride. And I had to get those two things, beloved, amen, that I might come to him. And so know ye that the Lord, there's someone to know, and then there's some place to enter. The Bible said in verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This is talking about Israel, beloved, coming into the presence of the Lord. I love to come into his presence. Amen. I love it when he shows up in my life. I love it when he shows up in a church service, but I'm glad that's not the only time in my life he showed up. Amen. There are many times it's just been me and him. And I tell you what, he gets so big, Brother Chris, I just can't handle it. Amen. I can't stand it. Amen. His presence is so overwhelming. I've said for years, the people that are closest to the Lord, they don't know it. Because the closer you get to him, beloved, the more you understand, amen, how holy he is. As Brother Michael prays, holy, holy, holy. He got that out of Isaiah. Amen. Lord God Almighty. Amen. Which is and was and is to come. That's the God that we serve. A lot of people are trying to bring God down to our level. Honey, that's not the idea and it won't work. Amen. The idea is to get close to him, that we might be closer and closer and closer to his level. And be ye holy, he said, for I am holy. Then there's some place to enter his gates and into his courts. And you say, Pastor, why? Why would you magnify that in the introduction to the message today? To make a joyful noise, to serve the Lord, to know ye the Lord, he is God, and enter into his gates because of verse 5. This is the answer to the why. For the Lord is good. I tell you this morning, if you know him, you'd have to say he's good. I tell you, he's good on the mountain. He's good in the valley. He's good when the bills are paid. And he's good when you don't know how you're going to take two ends and bring them together. He's good when you're healthy. He's good when you lost your health. He's good, amen, when there's plenty in the cupboard. And he's good when the cupboards are empty. That's the God that I serve. He's good. Years ago, my grandfather, he wanted to eat breakfast, and he was a man that did not like beef, period. I don't know. One of the reasons might be because he worked on a dairy farm. Amen. And that's all you're looking at, them cows, day in, morning, noon, and night. Amen. And he didn't like beef at all, but he loved pork. And one morning, my grandmother fixed breakfast and said, that's the last of the meat. Amen. Grandpa said, well, he said, honey, just fix it up and we'll eat it. He said, God's provided before and God will provide again. He got his breakfast eaten. He went down to get in a car that was given to him, insurance paid on it and all of that. And he opened the door and there laid a big country ham. Glory to God, I tell you what the truth. You say, Pastor, you really believe stories like that? Yeah. Honey, I've got them in my own life, amen, where God provided, amen. You say, Pastor, they didn't nobody know what he needed. No, but God knew what he needed. And God put it on somebody's heart, amen. And my grandpa, he died believing God is good all the time, amen, into his gates and into his courts. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'll say this morning before I get into the message. You say, what have you been doing? I've been trying to introduce the message. Amen. That makes some of you nervous. You need to be nervous. Amen. If you're nervous about that, you need to be nervous. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning, listen to me. Listen to me. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that God wants us to see some things here today that will help us in our life. The three things that I want to key in on this morning is his presence, his people, and his pasture. Amen. I want to key in on those two things. The Word of God said, be thankful unto him. Let me say this to you. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, you know that if your heart quit beating right now and you slumped over in that pew, that heaven would be your home. There's a reason for that. It's his presence. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do? I'm going to describe his presence to you this morning. First of all, beloved, when we were saved, he had to show up before we could be saved. Even when we were lost in our sin, when we could not come to Him, the songwriter said, He came to me. Amen. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. There's another verse that says, no man seeketh after God. You say, how do you marry those two verses up? It's pretty easy, beloved. He can be found when He's seeking you. He can be found. Amen. He's the one that initiates it. That Sunday night I went to church, I wasn't looking for Him. But thank God Almighty, He was looking for me. Amen. I wasn't looking to get saved, but He was looking for a sinner. And beloved, that night, beloved, it was His presence in His coming to me. It was His presence in convicting me. Beloved, the Bible said of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. I began that night to get concerned about my soul. Amen. I love what Brother Keith did when he was here. He said, the most precious thing you have in the world is your soul. He said, now you can try to take care of it yourself and it ain't going to be nothing but a mess. Or you can put it in the hands of a holy God and He'll take care of it. Amen. And thank God that night, not only did He come to me, but He convicted me of my sin. And then listen, He convinced me that there was an answer. And my answer wasn't me. My answer wasn't my wife. My answer wasn't my daddy. I love my daddy. It wasn't my mama. My answer wasn't the preacher. My answer wasn't the baptistry. My answer wasn't reading or studying. My answer wasn't praying. My answer was Jesus Christ the Lord. He convinced me, beloved, that it wasn't what I needed. It was who I needed. I needed Jesus. Amen. And the Spirit of God, His presence is responsible for all of this. And then not only does He come to us and He convicts us and He convinces us, but thank God He don't quit there. He converts us. You know what you got there? You got a change. I'll tell you this, and I'll stand on it till Jesus comes. If there's no change, there's no Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I went down filthy and come up clean. Went down guilty and came up forgiven. Went down on my way to hell and came up on my way to heaven. I went down with no peace and came up with peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I went down, beloved, listen, in need of a Savior, but I came up with a Savior. Amen. He convinces us. He converts us. But then, I like this, He comforts us. Glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you, conviction's rough. Amen. If you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. It's rough. Oh, it reminds me kind of that story where Paul and Silas ended up in the prison. You remember that, in the jail that night? The same man, glory to God, that was taking that whip and putting stripes on their back. The same man, amen, he's the one now, beloved. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now in the middle of the night, he's got him a pan of water and he's washing their stripes. Oh, glory to God, the Holy Ghost will put the stripes on you. But when you come to Jesus, he'll wash them. He'll comfort you, amen. He'll comfort you. And then, beloved, he don't quit there. We start going to church after we get saved, and then he starts challenging us. It ain't enough, Brother Chris, just to be a Christian. I want to be a soldier. Amen. I want a place on the front line in that army. Amen. There's a fight going on. You might not realize it, beloved, but there's an enemy that wants your children. He wants my grandchildren. He wants my children. By the way, he wants me. He wants our church. Amen. There's a battle going on, beloved. You don't get saved and head to a picnic. You get saved and head to a battlefield. Amen. Paul, when he got ready to die, he didn't say, I ate all the chicken, had a good picnic. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. His presence, be thankful unto him. And then, beloved, I thank God, not only does he challenge us, but he changes us. Glory to God. Amen. Listen to me. That's the difference in salvation I explained a minute ago and sanctification. Sanctification, how many remembers the song, "He's Still Working on Me"? To make me what I ought to be. Brother Don McCann's been in heaven just a little over a year now, Sister Linda. Amen. Your sister got to meet up with him the other day around the throne. What a blessing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. He'd tell you up until the day he left this world, "He's still working on me and to make me what I ought to be." It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I want to magnify this statement. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Amen. Beloved, if he's not working in your life, there's something wrong. Amen. You go talk to some of these old saints of God and they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I've not arrived." Amen. He's still working in their life. And then one day we're going to get the ultimate change. Oh, Job said, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Glory to God, there's a change coming. Amen. He's going to change our vile body and make it into his a body like unto his glorious body, like unto the Son of God. There's his presence. We ought to be thankful to him because of his presence. The second thing, we ought to be thankful unto him because we're his people. I want you to see some things right here in verse number 3. The Bible said, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." I believe most everybody that'll be honest will acknowledge that. There are some that say they're atheists. They don't believe in God. God thought so much of them, he put a verse of scripture in the Bible for them. He said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." God put a whole verse, amen. We've even got a whole day, amen, in America. We celebrate called April Fool's Day, amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Down deep in everybody's heart, they know there's a creator. Amen. And the Bible said here, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." I'm going to give you three things real quickly out of this verse. He made us. He made us. We didn't make him. He made us. By the way, this is a little time out right here. He made us what he wanted us to be. He didn't make us a boy and then decide later that we need to be a girl. He didn't make us a girl and then decide later that he wanted us to be a boy. I believe the ultimate form of pride, spitting in the face of God, is somebody saying, "I'm not the right gender." Say amen. I believe that, amen. What you're doing is you're saying, "God made a mistake." Can I let you in on something? He ain't never made one, and he never will, amen. He's holy. He's perfect. Amen. And I believe it's wonderful to know that he made us. We're his creation. Amen. But then he makes us anew. That way we become his children. There's something that's taught that's not true. And that is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. We are all God's creation through our first birth. I agree with that. Amen. Male and female made he them. We're all God's creation through our first birth. But there has to be a second birth to be God's child. To be God's children, we have to be born again. Nicodemus was very religious. He knew the Bible inside and out. I say it like this. He knew the Word of God, but he didn't know the God of the Word. There's a difference, amen. Let me tell you this. The devil knows the Word of God. What did he do when he come to Jesus? Amen. He just took that Word and twisted it a little bit. Amen. He tempted him. Amen. I want you to know, beloved, listen. We ought to shout because we're his people. He made us. We're his creation. He makes us again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I believe Nicodemus got born again. I really do. Why would that religious man, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, be interested in the body of Jesus when they killed him if something hadn't changed in his life? I believe I'll meet Nicodemus in heaven. Amen. I believe it got to him. Amen. He came to Jesus by night. There's a lot of speculation on why he came at night. Jesus was a very busy man during the day. amen, a very busy man during the day. Could be that he was ashamed like some of those others, amen. He didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus, amen. But Jesus laid it out there. He said, except a man be born of water, that's the natural birth. That's what makes us his beloved, his creation, and of the Spirit. That's what makes us his children. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And so his people, he makes us his creation. He made us anew. That's his children. But then he's molding us. That's his church. I want you to think about that, beloved. I'll tell you a little story right here real quick. It's funny. I love it. Amen. But he is molding us. Little boy in Sunday school. They're going to have a picnic after Sunday school. And they're going to... That thing hollers at me when I come down there. One of these days I'll be able to come down there. But anyway, little boy in Sunday school, they're going to have a picnic. And so they brought their little bag lunch right in the middle of Sunday school class. Brother Jack, you could appreciate this. Right in the middle of Sunday school class, that little boy took a bologna off his sandwich. He started wadding it up. The teacher said, son, what are you doing? He looked at her and grinned and said, I'm making a Sunday school teacher. Woo, out of bologna. So she got ill and she went and got the superintendent, went and got Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy come in there and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm making a Sunday school superintendent. So the Sunday school superintendent went and got the pastor and said, we can't do nothing to this boy. So he told the pastor what was going on. The pastor went in there and got down on one knee and he said, son, I know what you're doing. He said, you're making a preacher, ain't you? He said, no, sir. I ain't got enough baloney to make a preacher. Amen. Amen. About the time you think you're getting ahead of them youngins, amen, you're going to find out you're way behind, amen. I'll tell you what, I told that joke, but I want you to know I'm the clay, and I'm in his hands, and he's a molding, he's a making, he's a forming, he's doing what he wants to do in my life. I welcome it, amen. I welcome what the Lord is doing in my life. Let me give you this. His pasture. Be thankful unto him. His presence causes me to be thankful. His people causes me to be thankful. And then his pasture causes me to be thankful. I'm going to give you several statements real quick. Number one, sheep need a shepherd. It's the shepherd that leads us in to green pasture. You can read that in Psalm chapter 23. You can also read that in John chapter number 10. And then Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I know them and they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I'm going to say this morning. Listen to me carefully. If you don't believe that someone is born again, is saved forever, then that would make Jesus lying in that verse of Scripture. If I didn't have another verse of Scripture, and I do, I have a bunch of them. But he said, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. I've dealt with people before that didn't believe that you were saved eternally. I've dealt with them. I ask them this question. When does a person receive salvation? I've never had one, but they didn't say the moment you trust Jesus. That's when you receive the gift of God. Salvation. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number three, if anything ever happened and interrupted that, was it eternal to start with? You think about that. That's a pretty simple argument, but it's pretty profound. Amen. I'm glad I don't go to bed at night. I go to bed at night concerned about a lot of things. I do. I'm concerned about some of my children, my grandchildren. I'm concerned about people in my church. I'm concerned about our community. I'm concerned about our country. But I never go to bed at night concerned. If I die in my sleep, what's going to happen to me? Because I'm in his hands. Amen. And I thank God that I'm in his hands. Sheep need to be sustained. Think about that. Turn with me to John chapter number 10 just a moment. I won't be much longer. John chapter number 10. Let me read you a few verses of Scripture. In John chapter number 10. Think about this morning. Sheep need to be sustained. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that entereth by the door, the shepherd, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I'm glad I know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Bible said in another place, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Amen. Thank God the shepherd laid down his life. Sheep need to be sustained. Let me just say this. When you find yourself in the wrong pasture, how many knows what I'm about to say? You're listening to the wrong voice, because his voice will never lead us into the wrong pasture. It'll lead us into those green pastures where we can be sustained. And then I'm going to give you something this morning. I did a little bit of research, and I want to give you something here as I close the message out today. This is something that should be, Sister Jane, you back here, where you at? Wave at me if you're back here. Did she leave? She's in children's church. That's right. Okay. We'll forgive her for that. Amen. She's as bad as Miss Eve. You need to pray for them kids. Amen. Amen. But let me give you this. She knows this because she's dealt a lot with sheep. I want you to hear me well. Sheep need to be sheared. There was an old preacher, Brother Jason, by the name of Howard Robinson. Here's what he told me. He said, Brother Rick, he said, you better feed the sheep. And he said, I want you to remember something. He said, you feed the sheep every day. He said, but you shear them once a year. He said, you go to trying to shear them every day, and he said, you won't have no sheep. Now, that's wisdom. And I was reminded of it when I looked this up. Sheep shearing is the process of cutting a sheep's wool, which is done to keep the sheep healthy and comfortable and to produce a higher quality wool. Amen. I'm looking out there this morning at a bunch of woolly boogers. Amen. Amen. Brother Rick, you didn't think that's funny, did you? Amen. He's holding it back. Amen. Doyle's laughing hard enough for both of them. Amen. Sheep need to be sheared. It helps me because I never like coming to this pulpit and preaching those kind of messages. But when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You don't have to agree with what I'm going to say, but you look at a mega church and here's what you'll find. Exhort, 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 exhort. Ain't nobody preaching on sin. Ain't nobody preaching on hell. Amen. Shack up. Come as you are, leave as you are. You come smiling, leave smiling. But I'm telling you, the word of God will cut us. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Listen to this. Benefits for the sheep. Shearing helps sheep stay cool in the summer and reduces the risk of disease and parasitic infestation and prevents them from becoming stuck on their backs. I believe a lot of Baptists got a parasite stuck on their back. Not ours, not our Baptists, you know, they're over there somewhere. But if I said that and it bothers you, you're probably one of them. Parasites. Benefits for the wool. Shearing produces a higher quality wool. When do you shear? Sheep are usually sheared once a year, typically in the spring or the fall. How do they do it? The shearer sits the sheep on its rump and shears the wool in sections, starting with the breastbone. When I read that, I thought, oh God, he starts right there near the heart. Woo, Gordy, you can't make this up, amen. Oh, God ain't near as interested in your feet as he is your heart. If he gets your heart, he'll get your feet. If he gets your heart, he'll get your pocketbook. If he gets your heart, he'll get your hands. If he gets your heart, he'll get your mind. How many knows that's right? This way said, the shearer sets the sheep on its rump and shears the wool in sections, starting with the breastbone and the belly, then the left rear leg, neck, the head, the shoulder, and finishing with long cuts along the side and the back. You think about that. I'm glad this morning I could be thankful unto him because I know about his presence. I'm one of his people and I live in his pasture. I've said this before, I'll say it again just in case somebody didn't get it. I can't tell you the times that I've been praying, studying, God, what do my people need? I can't tell you the times that God showed me. But before I could come to the pulpit, Sister Evelyn, I had to get out of my chair. Get down on my knees. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a shepherd that's trying to feed the sheep something that he won't eat himself. I wouldn't give you a nickel. I tell you, you say, Pastor, you really believe you have to be corrected? Are you really trying to convince us of that? It's true. The Apostle Paul, the great a man as he was, he said, I've not yet attained. He hadn't arrived. But he said, I follow after. And he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God he's changing us and challenging us. He comforts us. And I want to be thankful unto him. I want to be thankful unto him. Don't you? Be thankful. Don't let Thanksgiving come and go. When you get that big slice of turkey or ham, amen. Every time I say ham, I think of Brother Jack, Brother John. You said he would hide that from Geraldine, amen. And my grandpa wouldn't have hid it from nobody. Say amen. He loved that ham. Brother John's told me about going in the office and said there'd be biscuit crumbs all around Brother Jack's chair there where he'd been enjoying them ham biscuits. He's enjoying them now, amen. He don't have to worry about what it's going to do to his health, amen. Thank the Lord. It's good to be saved. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Not know about him, but do you know him? Do you know the comfort? The same one that puts his stripes on us and convicts us. He's the one that convinces us that Jesus is the answer. He's the one that comes along and comforts us when we come to know the Lord as our Savior. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. God, I want to be thankful unto Him. I don't want to take for granted, Lord, your blessings. God, you've blessed me with a wonderful family. Wonderful friends, a wonderful church family. And Lord, many of our church family have went home to be with Jesus in the last 12 years. Lord, there's going to be a meeting. One day, God, there's going to be a meeting around the throne. God, I pray this morning, that individual that's here, Lord, that you're knocking at the heart. Lord, you never force your way on anybody. God, I remember the night when I said, it's enough. I need you, Jesus. And Lord, you were so gracious to receive me into your family. You birthed me, God, into the family of God. Help someone this morning, Lord, to hear your voice, to heed your voice, to come. Lord, you died publicly in open shame. It wouldn't hurt us to step out that aisle and just walk down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need the Savior. Would you help this morning, Lord? Would you help your people, Lord, to cooperate when you're working and molding their lives? God will give you glory. Let's stand together. If you need this altar, I pray you'll come this morning. God's working in your heart.